Hello, and welcome to the Comic Book Rundown. In the last issue, the Teen Titans lost two of their founding members. Will they be able to come back from this loss and be able to move forward? Let's find out in this issue.
Next issue. Issue 40. We are in Zandia again, somewhere in the Baltic Sea, and Mother Mayhem is bringing in some new acolytes, or worshippers for Brother Blood.
Oh, she straight up calls it a cult of Brother Blood, which made me go cults, 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 cults. I like cults.
I didn't. You know what? I know you do. It's all good. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, I totally blazed past that part.
Yeah.
Huh. That's especially interesting considering this issue. Like, what they talk about later on with Blood and talking to the people. So, she is addressing the acolytes, the cults, and saying how their master is 600, over 600 years old, which I bring that up for a reason later, and how he has survived this long because he basically bathes in the blood of his enemies.
Yeah, it's got a very, like, Resurrection of Lord Voldemort feel to it.
Well, this... What I got from this was more of the Lazarus Pits from Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, well, oh, yes.
Or but Ra's, however you want to say it.
It's Ra's.
Thank you.
But it's, I mean, it's literally a cavern with a blood lake, which, I mean, Mother Mayhem...
Boiling blood lake.
Boiling blood lake, which Mother Mayhem and Brother Blood later both talk about how it's the blood of his enemies.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, after 600 years, you're going to make some enemies, but that's a lot of blood.
I mean, he makes a lot of enemies, apparently.
I mean, you only have 5 liters in your body, so...
Well...
That's a lot of blood.
And so we see Brother Blood rising out of this burning lake of boiling blood, which doesn't make any sense because I had to go back and check. The last time we saw Brother Blood, he was sitting on a pillar in Massachusetts. How he got to Zandia here, I have no idea.
That may be one of those things where authors at the time had a plan for something and it just got scrapped and somebody needed to pick up a string and they're just like, okay, let's go with it.
Yeah, they did a lot of that back then. Well, actually, no, that's not true because nowadays it's more of a when they each issue is separate, but they write these issues for trade.
Yes.
So they're writing a 6-issue arc.
Yes.
And not very often anymore does it pick up one issue pick up right from the other. It's more of a you're here, next issue you're all the way over here, and you're missing something in between.
Currently. Okay.
I'm thinking of a couple of Batman issues where they do that, and okay. It's just like, oh, okay.
Interesting.
Because I know they did a lot here.
Well, because I was going to... In the comics, again, very limited comics experience, mm-hmm. What I'm feeling, I'm getting a more narrative feel out of the stories.
Oh, okay.
Versus something like this where, you know, we cut from that Alaska base to, how did they get over to Zandia after this base got...
Yeah, especially Mother Mayhem. She got turned into the authorities.
Yeah, but, I can no-prize that. All the authorities have been pressured by the politicians that Brother Blood is paying.
That's fair.
So, I mean, it's not like government would ever pay people or give people plea deals for lesser sentences to you know, take care of stuff for them or anything. Carry on.
Hold on. The soapbox is over there.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Okay, so... as we are seeing Brother Blood. As we see
he's Brother Blood now, from now on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We see Brother Blood walking out of the pit, and he gets dressed pretty quickly, and he loses all of his pop marks, boil marks that he had, which was...
Well, I'm assuming, cool. You know, if you've ever heard of Marie Laveau. No, not Marie Laveau. I'm totally blanking on her name. But there's this, like, chick in New Orleans who would, like, drain her enslaved servants of their blood and, like, use it as makeup to smooth her skin and keep her skin healthy and stuff like that. So cool. Obviously blood has a restorative property, so it's obviously going to get rid of pockmarks.
Yeah.
Madame Delphine something? Yeah, Google it. You'll figure it out.
But he's just addressing the new acolytes and just basically telling them to, pray to him, pray to his power, and everything will, their deepest desires will come true.
As every great cult leader has said.
Yep. We go back to Americas and...
out on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Can we talk about how awful this young child is? How old is Garfield Gar? How old is he?
16, I think.
Yeah. He's awful.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
Don't sexually harass your teachers.
The other thing I like is that he's basically, he jumps into, or he forms into a koala and hugs her. And then as she throws a book at him, the same book she dropped, mind you, he's running away as a monkey and then comes flying back as an eagle. But she is, she's trying to teach him and Tara. And neither one of them are paying attention.
No.
But
at least Tara is not sexually harassing her teacher.
True. No, I'm correct. But she does have, her legs up on the table and is chewing gum. Apparently that's the last straw. Because this tutor, decides that she can't, doesn't matter how much money she's getting paid, she just can't deal with this anymore. And so she quits.
Well, and Gar has this look on his face of, what did I do?
Yeah.
My dude. Don't try to kiss your teacher. Thank you. Okay, bye. He literally says, what do you think ticked her off?
Yeah, and she... Well, then Steve Dalton walks in. Dayton, I'm sorry. Steve Dayton, who is Mento, who is his adopted father.
Okay.
And he's just like, that was the sixth teacher that I've gotten for you. I'll get you one more. If you mess this up, you gotta go to public school. And apparently that's a bad thing.
When you're rich, yeah.
That's fair. Okay. Sorry, I've never been rich, so.
You have gone to private school, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I was rich.
Yeah. Though same. No. Same.
Yeah.
Middle class upbringing, 13, yeah. But 13 years of Catholic education, yeah. So, yeah.
So then we go to, they leave, they have to go to the news station because the Titans are going to be on the television. But on the way, Gar starts to question Tara, asking her if she likes being with the Titans. And he's like, yeah, why? Well, like, of course I do. It's better than playing pool, she says. And he makes mention that, you said... You told us that you sewed your own costume, but your brother Geoforce has the same one. About 3 issues prior, Titans and Batman and the Outsiders did a crossover, and Geoforce is part of the Outsiders, and so it was a nice little happy reunion with those two. But Gar was questioning it then, and now is able to actually question her in person.
Yeah,
but she just kind of like blows it off. And change the subject real quick. And look, there they are at the TV station. And then that question doesn't get brought up ever again.
Ever, never.
Ever again. It's
ever,
like,
never, ever, never.
Push the question, dude. Find the answer.
Yeah. Well, because
you're having doubts.
No, because Tara put on the giggly, "Oh, you like me?" face, and Gar,
I will say, as a teenage
stupid teenage boy, yeah. Gar is like. Girl.
I will say, girl. As a teenage boy. Yeah. I did the same thing.
Yeah.
But so we get to the TV station. Bethany Snow has a show called Snowstorm.
Snowstorm.
And she is interviewing a couple of congressmen and a senator because the faces were plastered on the weapons. Were getting kicked out and replaced by these guys. So these senators and, or the senator and congressman, they're there in studio. The Titans are there in studio. And via...
live via remote satellite.
Thank you. They've got Brother Blood from Zandia. And they are... they're talking about the subject of possible arms shipments to Zandia. and they go to the Titans first, and Wonder Girl says that Zendaya is it's a military dictatorship, you know, people by mercenaries, thieves, and international saboteurs. Basically talking about Brother Blood. The congressmen's and the senators are like, I don't think that's true. We don't really have any proof.
There's no proof of what that pretty little girl is saying. Fuck you, 80s.
Oh, and then I like this, though. Besides, Bethany, if we don't give Zendaya weapons, the communists will.
Okay, so can we have a brief historical interlude about Vietnam and proxy wars against the USSR and America?
This is not that far after that, too. That's the problem.
I know. Oh, but there's never been politics in comics before, Joe.
I never said that.
No, not you said that. The internet flippin' says that.
So after the congressman makes that comment, they go over to Brother Blood, and Brother Blood is just, he's, you know, denying all of it. Like, it was all, like, he basically says the president is the enemy, and his words are apparently, like, gold to the audience.
Yeah, he's Pied Pipering them.
Yes, hardcore. And, you know, the senator and congressman are all for it. Bethany Snow, obviously, who, they keep saying that Snow was, betrayed Blood. I'm pretty sure she's still working with him. And all the audience is all about, all ready to jump on a plane and go to Zendaya. Donna Troy, Wonder Girl, you know, she makes the mention that they've been to Brother Blood's temples and they see how they use the children and how they turn them against the parents. This one congressman, he's like, my son joined Blood's temple as a wild, reckless kid. He returned a good man and a better citizen.
I mean, it's weird to hear a parent say that about their kid joining a cult, but parents in cults, like, if you would have, if, you know, down in Jonestown in Guyana, if you would have talked to any of Jim Jones's followers, no, you know, my son joined the church with me, and we're a more cohesive family unit, and yes, we are. Would you like to enjoy this cup of Flavor Aid? Because it's delicious. Like, I mean, cults only praise cults.
Yes.
When you're outside of the cult, you're not praising the cult because you see how messed up whatever they're doing is.
But then you're wrong for saying the cult's a problem.
You're only trying to break us down, man. You're the problem. You're the problem, yeah. Not me. We're a family down here in Guyana. Drink your Flavor Aid. We're a family. I have opinions about cults. Sorry.
Yeah, you do. Starfire makes comment that, you know, that Brother Blood's hurting children. You know, we saw him do it. And then the third congressman, he's like, I don't mean to be disparaging, but since when do we believe an alien being over a human being? I know you made mention that the writing was kind of...
Okay, it's
not good.
It's not great, but again, you know, oh, there's never been politics in comics before.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but Blood says this thing, come to me wretched and I will make you proud. And the crowd sort of cheers.
Yeah.
Because he does. He's put his spell out. He's promising everything that cult leaders promise. A cult leader will promise you anything you want and he'll get it for you. Sorry. I'm reaching across the table.
Okay.
I'm putting my spell on you, Joe.
You did that years ago, dear. So after the interviews are done, Wonder Girl is kind of distraught. She thinks she handled it badly.
Well, the problem with this situation is she tried to apply logic
yes.
to a man that is applying to base emotions in one specific crowd.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't argue that. You can't logically argue that. There's never been politics in comics before, Joe.
I'm going to have to mark every time you say that. Jesus.
Take a shot.
But so they're walking away. And there is, I think in the next issue, Donna Troy makes a comment how, or Wonder Girl makes a comment how, trying to explain away Corey and Cyborg and Beast Boy at her upcoming wedding. How she can even say, hey, yeah, I know these guys. When she doesn't wear a mask, she's walking down the street with all of them. So anybody could see them and figure out, oh, that's that Starfire girl. She's with those. That one looks like that one girl with the mask.
You know,
like, you just put it all together.
Well, and we'll, let's come back to that specifically when Tara is going through and with her eye camera. Let's talk about in that issue, okay?
Okay. So they're discussing. They have to do something. One of the girls really wanted Dick to be maybe been there. Well, he was there, but he was in the audience. But, like, been on stage with them. And him, he's not Robin anymore, so he couldn't have. But he decides that he's going to do something anyway. So he gets this new costume, a wig and a mustache, and goes, gets the congressmen that were outed as being supporters of Blood and supplying them with weapons, and gets them all to meet up in
Jersey.
Is it, okay, yeah, in Jersey City, into Senator Charles's place.
Yes.
And you were going to make a comment about his wig?
Or that. I mean, we could call it a disguise. Okay, and again, I never realized these are 80s comics. This is one of those things where, I mean, I'm assuming because he's in disguise, he's put facial prosthetics on or something like that. But the way they draw him in this blonde wig and blonde eyebrows and blonde mustache, like, he doesn't even have the same facial structure as Dick Grayson. Like, I don't... It bothered me to no end.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I didn't actually put that one together.
He has entirely different nose structure.
Well,
he
and
furrows
he is,
his brow. He has different... Well, he has a different... eyebrow ridge.
Batman has been a component of... He needs to get information. He's going to use another persona. And
well,
he's
got numerous
amounts of them. So, obviously, he's going to teach his protégés those as well. I know Tim Drake has got one he uses constantly.
Yeah.
Dick uses... Well, and I know Batman himself uses the persona matches Malone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants to go into see the underbelly... Matches is his way to go. Dick has got one that is like the a co-worker of Matches or a son of Matches that he's pulled out a couple different times. Doesn't use it very often. Doesn't need to. But this is one that he used then. It doesn't last long. As we'll see, because he convinces the senator and the two congressmen to go over to Zandia to clear their name. And they want to do it. And so, along with them is Bethany Snow and a bunch of reporters or cameramen to basically get the inside scoop on what's going on in Zandia. As they're walking up to Brother Blood's castle or compound, or temple, sorry. As they're walking up to the temple of Brother Blood.
Temple, compound. It just depends on what side of the guns you're on, really.
That's not wrong. Mother Mayhem makes an announcement. She's like, I am Mother Mayhem, and I am responsible for the day-to-day activities. Welcome, friends from America, to the Church of Brother Blood. If somebody announces to me their name is Mother Mayhem...
I don't trust them.
No.
No.
Like, but these senators are like, okay, cool.
Thanks, Mother Mayhem.
Yeah.
And, like, I grew up with nuns.
Yeah, yes.
So you put a mother or a sister in front of anyone's name, I'm like, I don't trust you.
Yeah. But as they're walking around, they've got two of the guides, Brother John and Sister Cicely, to be the guides of this group, and walking them through the church. Apparently, they've got cameras everywhere, which is, I guess, normal for a cult.
Technically, yes. Although, typical cults without access to this much money and blood typically use... snitching on each other as their eyes in the sky and as their ways of keeping tabs in the community.
Mm-hmm.
I'll stop talking about.
No, you're good.
No, thanks. Kid.
No, as you're itching your neck, I want more. I forgot your love of cults, and I'm actually kind of happy
cults,
I gave you these issues now. But the camera is searching through each person, and they're able to figure out that this one individual is wearing a disguise.
Weird.
Don't know how. But then they strip her away, and oh wait, I know this guy. But so we go back to the Titans, and this is where I was talking about how Donna was trying to figure out how to explain away Tara and all them, and Or, I'm sorry, Starfire and Gar and
the Vic. Orange one and the green one.
And the robot?
Yeah.
Okay.
Half robot.
At a wedding.
It's fine.
Okay. But they hit it. They hear alarm. Dick's silent alarm. Or emergency signal. And so they rush over to Zandia. It takes them a couple hours because, you know, it's
halfway across the world.
Yeah. And when they get there, they butt up against the bottom of the island. And then they send Terra up to form a tunnel into the temple floor. Which,
compound
floor. Which I find funny because they're trying to be quiet about it, but she just blasts through and the floor goes blasting up.
And there's a giant, giant word scrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr
and then they are quickly taken out because it was a trap. When they wake up, they are tied to a giant skull.
This would be the first of three times they get tied up this issue? Or is it just the two times?
This actually is the second of them being captured.
Oh, that's right. Good point.
So, Donna Troy wakes up first. Okay, so we're about here at the end of the issue. But I wanted to point out that you've got, you know, Donna, who's super strong. Cyborg, which is a robot and strong, or half robot and strong. Raven, who's a demon. And has a, can, you know,
demon
portal everywhere. Starfire, which is super strong. Gar, changeling, who can change. And Terra, who has earth powers. And they're being held to the skull by a bunch of rocks.
Oh, no.
I know they are passed out. I know, like...
They're passed out. I think they bring that up in the next issue.
They don't? No.
Oh, it's the other time they get pulled,
yes.
Tied up. Okay, that's okay. The time I'm thinking of. He's not a good cult leader. He's not thinking correctly. Well, he thinks he's the smartest man in the room, like most cult leaders do.
That's fair.
And that's his downfall.
Okay.
Okay.
But as he's talking to them, he's lowering the skull that they are tied to into the boiling blood river lake thing. And he is like, monologue is like, this was your demise, and here he is right here, and shows Dick. And that's when Corey wakes up and is all sad. And Brother Blood is then saying, don't worry, doesn't matter anymore, you're all gonna die, your power is gonna be my power. End of issue.
Dun dun dun.
Thank you for listening to the Comic Book Rundown. If you like listening to Emily, please check out What's in the Queue on iTunes and Stitcher. They are a podcast that talks about documentaries. And you can find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching What's in the Queue. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Comic Rundown, on Instagram at Comic Book Rundown, or you can send us emails to comicbookrundown@gmail.com. We'll be back very soon with the next chapter of this Teen Titans story arc.